Utilities Committee to order at 3:06 PM, and the clerk will call the roll of members present.
Tracus?
Present.
Tagliati?
Here.
Verberca?
Here.
Very good. The first topic that we have on the agenda is a continuation of the LED street lights from a week ago's meeting. And at this time, I think it'd be appropriate if the committee members would are okay with it, I would just hand the meeting to Dave Snyderberg so he can take over, and then obviously we can interact with him as we need to. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, that would be fine, Jim. We're looking for Kevin Smalley on. He's supposed to...
he's on.
I am on.
Oh, very good. Okay, Kevin, great. Thank you. Well, we're here to discuss the three options, Kevin. And I know that council has some questions pertaining to actually purchasing the lights and or leasing the lights. And obviously, just having them replaced on failure. So I guess, Kevin, what we would like you to do is explain what the benefits are to each one versus just replacing them on failure. If we purchase the lights or release them. And I guess the real question is, if there's monies, you know, if we could save more money by replacing them all right away, you know, and obviously there's a time constraint there, and obviously I don't know, you know, what would take First Energy, but those are all the questions you can answer for us. So why don't you just take off from here and give us the overview of the whole program.
Okay, so this program came into fruition of 2020, beginning January 2020. With this option, it's called the experimental LED program tariff. It gives three options. Your first option is, as you said, you could replace all your streetlights or however many streetlights you want at a cost of $242 per street. Once we agree to this, we'll get, you know, we'll work through the timeline engineering, because there's a significant amount of work that has to happen to get whatever you decide done. But it costs $242, and what you're paying for is the useful life of the light that's left. So you're not paying for insulation, you're not paying for material, you're basically you're paying to take a good light down and put up a new light instead of replacing it when it fails. Option B is the exact same thing as option A. It's just you're financing it over 60 months, 5 years. I believe, now don't quote me on it, it's in the tariff, I think it's like $5.16 or something a month per fixture, and it works out to be like $309 at the end of the 5 years per light instead of the 242. You know, the difference obviously is you're not putting the money up front. And then there's option C, which is replacement on failure. Option C is zero cost to the city. And as we, you know, we go through the natural attrition of street lights in their life, we just replace them with LEDs. So when we replace, you know, street lights reported out, we go out and we essentially take off the head, the old light, and we put on an LED. And once that work request is complete, and it goes through back end billing, and everything gets changed under bill.
And each individual light, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the minute you change it out, the minute that bill for that next month or whatever, for that light. Okay.
I have no guarantees. I can't.
Okay.
And there's some adjustment within the month, I believe.
You have to make
Okay.
For well beyond.
So in other words, we would start saving money the minute that light was changed.
Absolutely.
10 hours.
And the cost would be, there's zero cost to us.
Zero.
So today, if I reported you 30 streetlights that were out
kind of confusing.
And all different locations in the city, and we sign the agreement, you would replace those 30 lights, his, you know, if it's a bulb out or a photo cell out, you would replace.
If it's a bulb or photo cell, we would replace it with an LED.
A total fixture.
Yep, and if it's a wire issue, like, so say you have like eight street lights out in a row, and it's a wire issue and not a bulb issue, those would not be replaced, if we would fix the issue. But yeah, if it's a photo cell or a bulb, and we're up there, we're gonna replace.
I understand. So, and then we would immediately say, well, if it was 30 fixtures, and Kevin, how far are you? Like, say we, and I realize you had a windstorm here, and I realize, you know, you have customers out, and they come first. But how far, say we report a street light, how, what could you give me, how many days?
We are required, once you report a street light or it's in the system, we have internal goals of being out there at least 3 days. Now, given some time, that's to replace the bulb. This is a little bit more than just replacing a bulb, and there's sometimes there's supply chain issues that obviously have affected everybody. So if we have the material in stock and we're not waiting on it, we're gonna change it up. If there's a situation where, hey, we're out of that particular light, at that point, I'll probably contact you and say, hey, do you wanna, is it that much of a safety issue that we need to get a light up right away? Or do we wait until the LED comes in? Because we have run across that a couple of times, not very often. But we work at the city, try to, you know, determine what's best for them.
Okay. Okay, Council, I guess I'd open it up to you. If you have any questions for Kevin, we have some figures, if you would wanna know the figures.
Why don't we do that? That was my first question.
I'll hand it over to Dennis then. And, you know, obviously, the figures are, the savings are twofold. Part of the leasing of the lights themselves, part of that goes down because the maintenance is less on the LED fixtures. But, and then there's the savings. If you take a 150 watt bulb, which might be common on your side streets, your colonial type fixtures, between 100 and 150 watt, you might take them down to a 30 watt LED with the same lighting capabilities. So obviously then that electricity is much less, and that's where your adjustment would come in. But the total, if we did all of them, I think Dennis, pretty much Dennis and Ryan, have the figures and they could go over that with you. For the, I think we have around 1,100 streetlights, and we own, city owns probably now, we probably own a couple hundred of them that we maintain and have to take care of. But right now, I think First Energy is around, and we have an audit, every streetlight, so they're around 1,100 total. So go ahead, Dennis, if you want to.
Dave, question, before we have them provide that information, one of the questions that we asked earlier on was there any possibility of a hybrid? In other words, if we agree to have the bulbs replaced in the program, but in the meantime, they replace them because they're going out, is that a possibility?
Oh, sure. Any, go ahead, Kevin.
So what I've been telling any city is, your best option to while you're debating or talking about this, because to be quite honest, we have, First Energy has a sustainability goal by 2030 that we are gonna be all LED lights. So it's coming down the pipeline. So that's something also to consider, that, you know, if you wanna pay for lights or do you wanna wait it out? But you sign up for the replacement on failure and you can still have option A and B available to you, and you can enact it as many times as you want. So you want to do, okay, I want to do Rockside, and I just want to do those lights, and y'all want to pay for those. Well, you know, at that time, we'll do an audit of, okay, this X amount of lights are still on Rockside, and that's what you paid for. So anything that would have been replaced on failure, you're obviously not paying for. And then, you know, you can do sections of the city at a time, you can do it wholesale. I mean, we can slice and dice however you want. But also on the same token, 2024, we are up for a rate case, and that's when we're gonna file for the PUCO to basically bringing our sustainability goals of having all our lights LED by 2030.
Okay, a follow-up question. I heard you talking about photocells. So apparently bulbs and photocells are separate as they currently exist?
Yes. You have the head fixture. And so typically with your high pressure sodium, you have a light bulb just like you would anything in your house. And then on the top of it, it's a photocell. So that's what turns it on and off during the light, normal daylight hours and dusk and dawn.
Okay, so the new lights, obviously you have a huge long length that they'll be good. What happens with coverage related to the photocell is the photocell?
Nothing changes. Yep, nothing changes. If it goes out, it's not working, it's faulty, you can go out and change it. Whether it's, if the head itself is bad, we'll change the head. If it's a photocell, we'll change the photocell. But it just needs to be reported.
That's what you pay for leasing the light.
Right.
Let me just add this to everybody. You know what the beauty is about LEDs? Like a high pressure sodium or Merc, they'll burn it. 40%, 50%. That's why you see lights that are brighter, and then some are so dim, but they're still burning. They're still on. The LEDs, they burn at that rate. They go down over maybe after 12, 10 years, maybe 10%. It's not very noticeable at all. So that's the beauty about it. You could start putting these in now, and like Kevin says, if you decide a year from now, hey, we like those 20 LEDs that you put scattered on Rockside Road, and we want to change the remaining 111 of them. I think there's 131. I know last week I said 121. I take that back. I think there's 131 lights on Rockside. So if you wanted to change those other 111 and pay for them and get them done sooner, The lights that were installed maybe a year ago, you won't notice the difference at all in the lighting, not one iota. They'll be the same brightness. And you have 20 lights installed for free already that you're saving money on. So that's why the option C, I guess we're here to at least decide how we're going to move forward. But like I say, there's cost figures, so... if we do want to change them, and I can turn that over to Dennis if there's no other questions.
We may have other questions, but why don't we hear from Dennis first?
Sure. Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. I just sent out an email that has the analysis of the traditional lights that we have in place if we did a LED conversion. I apologize for getting it out so late. I would have liked to have had it out earlier today, but I was unable to confirm some of the numbers. And, I want whatever I put out, I wanted it to be accurate. Going back from what Director Schneiderburn had said, basically there are two main components to the streetlight: maintenance and the electric to, use on that fixture. When you break it down between maintenance and electric, or the lease and electric, the maintenance or leasing portion of the expense of a streetlight is 80%, 20% is electric. Now that's, plus or minus, but that just kind of gives you a good idea of, where you are for the electric use, and the rest is for the maintaining that fixture. When you look at changing from the traditional fixtures that we have out there in place now to converting to all LEDs, the city would experience a 20% savings just from the January 1st through January 31st period. Our current fixture bill was $13,500. If those fixtures would have been LEDs, the fixture charge would have been $10,700. So you would have looked at a 20%, $2,800 savings. On the electric side, it's billed on per kilowatt hours. The traditional lights would have used 7,300 kilowatt hours of electric. The LEDs would have reduced, I'm sorry, 72,500 kilowatt hours. The LEDs would have reduced the usage to 30,600 hours, which would have equated to be a 57% savings of electric, but because it is only a 20% portion of the street lights, it would only realize the $2,100 savings. So when you combine the maintenance or lease and the electric, the savings with LEDs would be about $4,900 a month.
Just under $5,000 a month. It equates to, you know, just around $60,000 a year, which is, it's substantial without spending any money. But now, if you want to go through the figures of if we paid for the lights and we had it done sooner.
Right, the return on investment, if we, you know, we put the, you know, approximately $250,000 up front, there would be
Dennis, Councilman Tagliati had a question.
Dennis, can you share your screen to share these figures? For whatever reason, I did not receive this in my inbox, so I'm kind of, I don't know if everyone else is looking at it, but it'd be good to see these numbers.
Can we get it over to you right away, or?
All I have is the email that went out.
You'd have to call up your email on this computer and get into your system.
I can scan this in real quick.
Okay.
We'll
get it over to you right away.
Get it from Trachis. I have it now.
Okay.
Oh, thanks. Great.
Continue, Dennis.
Okay. Well, you know, when you look at the current cost of $250,000 annually, the return on investment is, if we bought those fixtures outright, would be 4.5 years, 5 years. If we took the lease option, it would be 65 months or five years, 5 months.
If we just do the replacement option, what does that yield us? Is that what you were discussing there?
Well, the replacement option, there's no costs that are associated with converting from the traditional lights to the LEDs. They are replaced only on failure. I think Kevin had mentioned that, you know, I think when we were talking earlier, he said, you know, 6 to 7 years, we'd probably have all those lights replaced anyways.
Yes. Yes, I believe that it's already 2022, and if they plan on doing it by 2030, let me tell you, just a conventional bulb or a photocell, usually the bulbs go, but per light, and obviously a lot of our bulbs might be 2 or 3 years old already in the fixtures, but a bulb only lasts five, six years. You know, you might get one that lasts 8 because it's an oddball or something, but a bulb in our existing fixtures only lasts 5, 6 years. So they're going to be changed anyway. They're all going to burn out, and they're going to change those anyway. So, you know, I guess what we want to do is get as many burnout fixtures as we can in the next year. But the big thing is to report the fixtures as soon as they burn out. That way, the more we get, the more we report, and that's going to be on us, on the police and us. We're going to have to be the watchdog. But the more we report out, the more we get changed, and the faster we save money. So any street light that's burned out now, and I think, you know, maybe in the past, and I'm not speaking, maybe in the past, First Energy might have had a hard time catching up. But I got to tell you, I know that I just talked to Nina Bouget, and she reported it was just around 30 lights out on Rockside. And I know there are some on the signal poles that might still be out, but those are not First Energy's responsibility. Those are our responsibility, and I guess we have a contract with Signal Service. And I always thought because they were on their meter that they were there. So
anyways, but they just did about 30 lights, and Nina said that those are all done, and she looked at it, and so I think that was within a couple weeks when she reported them that they had them done. So I guess I want to give First Energy a few accolades, because I know Kevin is very, you know, when I just reported the down pole at Dalebrook, and I believe that's repaired already, and that was pretty, you know, whenever I call Kevin, it's pretty, he's very, very responsive, just, you know, so whatever the past was, the past. I know I had some discussions with some of our people here, and maybe there was, and the bottom line is, we have to report them. We have to get them in. They have to be called in or emailed in. We have to do the paperwork here. So,
do we have somebody in particular that's responsible for?
Well, the police just had cert now. They, you know, Chief Butler has engaged them, and like I say, Nina Bouge has been checking them, but nobody in particular. But we could start that. I think Chief's working with some of the police officers since they're out at night, and maybe the service department in the winter times out at night. But you know, the service department's busy plowing streets, you know.
Well, my question on that is related to Vern's question about those lights on Rexall Road adjacent to where the towers are.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not those had been replaced, because I know Vern had said that those had been burned out for an extended period. So did we drop the ball, or whoever is supposed to report them, or where does that come from?
You know what? The reporting, I believe that if they were reported, and I think in the past the service department did a lot of the reporting, and I think, you know, and it was nobody's fault. Directors changed, and I think it kind of fell through the cracks. And I think we're at the point now where we're really focusing. I was just on the phone with Nina. In fact, she's waiting for me to call her after the meeting, so she knows, because I said, let's not report a bunch now in case we get this signed, and then we get the LED. So that's where we're at, and I know we'll pay more attention, and maybe the mayor will give us some direction on who he might want to appoint to head that, or Chief Butler might say, hey, I'm going to have one officer, you know, maybe even a part-time guy. He could go, you know, this once a month, the first Saturday every month, and take a look while he's driving around and report anything. You know, I can meet with the chief, or I can meet with Ron, but it's somebody that is here and working at night. Maybe even Chief Reba might be able to shore up a fireman at one night, and maybe we could divvy up the cities into quadrants.
Another question that goes along with that, there is a light on Rexall Road that is between Cleveland Clinic, north of Cleveland Clinic, that seems to be on all the time. It's a sodium light. Now, is something like problem? Is that, well, that's what I'm saying. Photocell, is that something also that's reported and repaired, or is that thing just?
I believe, Kevin, you could answer that. If it was reported, it'd probably be the fixture.
If it's reported, we'd go out and take a look at it. I mean, the problem with the photocell, like, there's different issues. Like, it could, when you're driving by, it could be very well beyond, because it'll start blinking when it has issues with this photo cell. So if they drive by it, it's on, and then it turns off and they don't notice it. So there could be some issues like that. But if you give me exactly what it is, still a problem, I'll get it taken care of. And if you guys sign the agreement for the replacement on failure, it would be an LED.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, Kevin, you did mention when we were talking earlier today about option one, even if we did sign, you know, a commitment to replace all the bulbs, or all the fixtures, rather, in the city, it would be 12 to 18 months to get that project completed, and really, you're not in any position to even give any type of commitment. Is that correct?
As of right now, no, because it's going to depend on workload. And if we say we did 7 bulbs a day, that's 142 days. Then you also have engineering time involved with it. Like, there's a lot of work involved in it. It's not just, okay, go out and start swapping them out. Because we have to record everything, we have to make sure everything's right. And, you know, engineering-wise, drawing-wise, mapping-wise. And so it is a process. And then, like I said, there's an issue of a supply chain. It's like, hopefully we're getting ahead of it. Seems like we're getting ahead of it a little bit now. But, you know, that's not to say that it doesn't come up.
You know, Kevin, in others, say you're doing other, I'm sure you have this agreement signed in other cities.
Yes.
I don't know. I've never talked to anybody. You probably have. Let me ask you something. What is the approximate, do you have a percentage or approximate percentage of lights, total lights versus what you replaced, a 10% per year or 20% per year? Not buying, but just replacing them on failure.
Like Parma, they go through pretty much every year, hands down October, they send their auxiliary police force out and they report like 300 in like a day. Now, granted, if you're reporting that many, it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen within the 3-day period.
I understand, like you said,
but
even 10 days, 30 days, I understand.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Kevin, how many fixtures do they have, Parma, about, you know?
Off the top of my head, I don't. Sorry.
Well, Kevin, I think what Dave is getting at, okay, if we have 100 fixtures, what percentage of those fixtures can we expect to fail in any given year? Is, you know, 10%, 15%?
10%, I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe 10% is a good number. It's a round number because, like I said, there are some lights that have been out there for 10 years. Like, I mean, you guys still have some mercury vapor lights, which we haven't put in, and it was before I started, they haven't put those in. So like you have those outliers that are just going to last, but like I said, on average, by the 6 years, you're going to have about 90% of your lights changed out of your sodium vapor.
I guess that's what I was asking. Yeah, I believe that too. So you're, you know, in 5 to 6 years, you just about should have everything changed out. And
at that point, you could pay, or I mean, at that point, probably we'll have a program in place of strategically going through.
If we had a lone wolf somewhere and it just looked crazy, I get it. I get it.
Kevin, on the on what you just commented on. So, if First Energy has a plan together, and you've got a rate involved with this, with the PUCO, so would the plan be that you know, you want to get to LED by 2030? I understand that. What would be the charge for that? I mean, there's going to be an increased rate.
I couldn't tell you. That's all in the rates department, and there's been zero discussion, other than the fact that they came to us and said, "Hey, this is our sustainability goals. This is one of them, and this is what we're planning on doing." But I couldn't comment on what the rate would look like. You know, it would be socialized across everybody, essentially. So, but I couldn't even hazard a guess as to what.
That would happen anyway, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what we do. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Councilman Tagliati, you brought this initiative to council some years ago. You've got some thoughts?
No, I'm pleased to hear that. Hi, it's good to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you, Tom.
And I'm happy to hear that these tariffs were approved. And this was back in 2020, so we could have been participating in this program and saving for a couple years now if we would have jumped on board early. So it's encouraging that you can create the hybridized schedules with this, because back in 2019, that option was not on the table, and these new tariffs were not on the table either. So the whole conversation has changed pretty dramatically. And Dennis, looking at your spreadsheet, are these costs or kilowatt hours in L&M? Those are not dollars and cents. Those are kilowatt hours.
Yes, those are kilowatt hours, and I use a factor of 5 cents per kilowatt hour, and that's how it determined what the savings would be. Currently, we are with the Energy Harbor. We're paying 4.81 cents per kilowatt hour. That's 4 cents 0.81. You know. So I think five cents per kilowatt hour was a realistic number to use for this.
Okay. And you said we're saving
And the savings would approximately be $2,100 per month.
On the electricity.
On the electricity, and $2,800 on the...
Leasing.
On the maintenance.
The fixture charge.
Fixture maintenance, yes.
Saving $4,900 a month.
Correct.
If we changed them all.
If we changed them all, and we have approximately 1,100 lights, and it's a little over $5 a light. So that would be a little over $5,000 a month, and we're saving $4,900, right?
Correct.
So it's somewhat of a wash. We might have a couple hundred bucks a month to pay out of our pocket if we do choose to do option B.
Yeah, it's really pretty close. I know the second option with the, the payback of 309, definitely, does not make, sense economically.
But we could do option C right now and get all these ones replaced for free, and then we could transition over to option B or option A if we want to do whole corridors. And is there a...
That is correct.
At any point in time, Kevin, or...
Yeah. So once you sign on option C, it's in place and it's going to happen. You could do option A or B, in a month from now after you decide, hey, we want to do this. And then another 6 months after it's done or whatever, you could do it again. And, it's up, the options are up to you of what you want to bite off. If it's, a certain business district or just main drags you want to do, we can work with you and however you want to slice and dice it.
Yeah, that's very nice, because I think one of my concerns is just the image that we portray, especially in our business districts. Having spotty lighting, different shades of lighting is really not the image the City of Independence wants to portray to its business customers.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, the replacement on failure to me is a no-brainer. The only downside is it's going to look bad for a little bit, especially if you have high-pressure sodium all along the street and you put one LED in, people are going to complain, without a doubt. And it's because it sticks out like a sore thumb. And they're going to say, oh, it's bright, it's crazy. Like, and I've had tons of complaints come my way. And what I've done is worked with service directors, and we can install shields at a nominal cost if it comes down to it. But my recommendation is kind of put them on the back burner for a little bit. Let them get used to it first. Because when it first happens, everybody's like, oh, my God, this is terrible. I want the yellow light. After a month or two, once they get used to it, they typically, I would say 99% of the complaints that I've had have gone away. Every so often, and we've done thousands of lights so far, and I think I've put up like 3 shields. It's $100 per shield.
And I assume those were in residential areas?
Yeah.
I just so you know, too, it's for an experiment. And Kevin, but anyways, on Philip, the last light on Philip going south towards the hillside, the last light on the right, on the west side, that's a, and it's a colonial post. I think it's either the last one or the second last one. You'll see, that's an LED. That's an LED fixture, and it's, you know what? It just looks absolutely perfect there. And all the rest are high-pressure sodium along there. So I don't know if you ever get a chance going past there, just take a look at it. Just did it for a personal experiment, just to see. But we've replaced a lot of the, just for instance, if you, when you walked into City Hall, Councilman, whenever we had meetings at City Hall, that was all high-pressure sodium. The City Hall parking lot, and inside they were all, regular standard bulbs inside. But when you walked in the City Hall, that was all high pressure sodium, you had a yellow light. Well, first of all, they're all LEDs now, and they're much brighter. And it's I want to say it's even a soft light. It's not a real harsh light, like maybe ODOT has a bit of a harsher light, but there's different lumens, there's different fixtures, but what happened is First Energy took that into their account, and what they did is they worked with GE. So GE, they're the best in the business. They're the king of lights. They gave them their recommendation on all these streetlights. And I have to say, I think they're fantastic. I look at other cities, what they did, and I think, you know, I think Kevin's right. I mean, if somebody's complaining, it's maybe they're looking at this nostalgia of the old yellow light, you know, like particularly the old gas lights, but I think it's a much better light, the LEDs all around. You know, just real quick too, we replaced all the lights in the Civic Center. Well, most of them, 90%. There's some high hats. In fact, I just got one today. We're going to finish up with LEDs there. But the courts, the handball courts and the basketball courts, I remember when we did it. And we put sensors on, light sensors, so they go off when people are out. You know, the handball courts go off. The basketball courts go down to a very minimal lighting. You might have one fixture on. At that time, we measured everything out, because those lights are, we figured 12 hours a day, because they went in at 6 o'clock in the morning. We figured we averaged 12 hours a day, 7 days a week we took, or 6.5 days a week, and left them on. That annual savings just for those two rooms was just under $8,000 in electricity. So it's an enormous savings, enormous. Because, you know, that's what we do here. We leave these lights on, and, you know, it was just electricity used to be cheap. Just like everything else. So there's an enormous savings with LED bulbs. And I guess segueing into this, Kevin, I'd like to, you know, I guess my next question would be to you, is do you think there's going to be any adjustment because obviously, these LED fixtures, I've had them up in our service department, got to be 8-9 years. I'm going to check when we installed them. Probably 8-9 years. I have not had one failure yet. We had one that somebody hit it. But as far as bulbs, we haven't had one failure. And there's 50-some lights there. So, Kevin, do you think that adjustment in the leasing, do you think maybe we would get a little more of an adjustment, being that you don't have to, or would the PUCO look at something like that, being that you have less time in maintenance?
Yeah, I'm sure they would look at everything like that, but that's all due to the rate case, you know.
But I understand you have no control.
We'll file the rate case, and they'll have it open for discussion and stuff like that, and they'll take everything in consideration. So, but unfortunately, I don't have any say or process in that.
I understand.
And that energy savings that you speak of, Dave, that is one of the fantastic benefits of this whole program. And, you know, when I hear Kevin talk about some of these lights that can burn for 10 years or more, you know, if we do go with just replacing them as they burn out, we could have some of these antiquated, very inefficient bulbs burning for until 2030, until they are forced to replace them by the PUCO. So we're paying 57% more for our energy and 20% more in our maintenance. So those costs do compound. And that is, you know, one of the reasons I would kind of like to see more of a cohesive across the board upgrade and maximize the energy efficiency, maximize the spread of the light all at once. There's no denying going with C right off the bat and getting these things that are burned out replaced for nothing. Should have been doing that for a while, I guess.
If you want to take a look at your green footprint too, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, we're going to need the energy somewhere, whether it's going to be in electric cars or whatever. We're going to struggle. You see the price of oil today. And it all has to do with generating energy, generating everything, you know. So costs are going to go up. The sooner we can start implementing this, the sooner we can save some money anyway. But yeah, there's huge savings in LED lights. And the last thing I can say is, you know, we took a couple of field trips to GE in Neyland Park. What a facility. But they have LEDs that they've been testing now. I want to say that they've probably been testing them well over 20 years now. Could be 22, 23 years. And their testing is, they have them in sub-zero, you know, minus 50 degrees in freezers, and then they have them in ovens that are 130 degrees, exposed to all kinds of temperatures, and they've been testing and testing and testing. So, you know, they're the best in the business.
You know, now Dave's point right there, that one of the reasons why GE can't come out right now and say these bulbs will last for 20 years is just because their test sample is small. You know, they'll get more numbers as, you know, they start implementing these things throughout communities, and they know that, okay, we've got, you know, 10,000 mile in communities and they're lasting X number of years. But I think GE felt very confident saying it was a 12-year life. I said, Kevin, I think, Kevin, you're in the same, you know, area with that, the reliability on it.
Yeah, I personally think it's probably going to be closer to 20, but the reality is they haven't been out there that long to really give you the indication
right.
that 20 years is for sure the answer. But they say 12 years, that's what we kind of got to go by. I personally think they're going to go longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. I do too. You know, got to start making them here instead of going to China for it.
Don't disagree.
Jim, you know that big factory they're building out for the chips in Ohio. So I mean, that's fantastic.
Yep.
Big sure plus for the state.
Okay, from a strategy perspective, everybody, I think we all believe that there's a big advantage to go into LED. What's the desire of the committee? Do you want to start out with that option C and immediately start going in that direction, and then perhaps? Mayor, what we could do is work with you to identify maybe if we wanted to go into the business district and do some of those up front. I think what Councilperson Tagliati was talking about was something that we have spoken about before, is maybe having, you know, maybe the business districts, maybe eastern part of Pleasant Valley and Rockside at least looked at for consistency purposes, and then maybe, you know, evaluate from there. So that way we're maximizing not just our energy costs, but also our carbon footprint, that we're lowering our carbon footprint throughout the city a little bit more aggressively if we did something like that. Would that be something that you'd like to see us work on?
Well, I think that when we had Kevin, we talked to Kevin a year or so ago about this, and during the COVID situation, we were examining all our options at the time. And today we sit here with these options, and I think there are a lot of good points being made. We want consistency. We want a good price. I don't think anybody's in favor of just shelling out a quarter of $1 million initially. Is that, let's just go through the process of elimination. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say on my end, Mayor.
Yeah, I think the option B is more favorable than option A in the long term, based on just some napkin notes I did here.
So we eliminated A completely.
Well, hi guys. My question there, Kevin, if it is option A, and if it's a year plus lead time for some of these, we're not gonna need to come up with a quarter million. I mean, is it a pay as you go? Is it you send us a bill for what gets replaced at that time?
So what it has been in the past is basically a payment up front. If we're looking at, like, obviously we're going to work with the city, we're not going to look for a quarter of $1 million invoice at first, and we know that we're not going to get the stuff for 6 months, so we will absolutely work with you.
When you say work, that's a good point, Councilman DiGeronimo. When you say work with us, is it like he suggested, if we pay as we play, so to speak? Because if you can do seven a day and you can
So North Royalton, it was, you pay upfront. So if we identify a clear shortfall of like, yes, supply chain, we can't get these in until X date, then we will work with you on that. But as for if we have everything in supply and everything, it is, per the tariff, it is pay upfront and we get them. And then we structure it that it is sort of a pay as you play. Like we're not going to wait for the whole thousand to be done to convert everything over. We're going to put them into manageable work requests. So you might have 10 work requests or 20 work requests that we can close them out like little batches at a time. So you start realizing the savings of the stuff that we're doing as we're doing. So
we would pay as you, once they're installed.
The payment would be upfront, but then you get the, it would be staggered. Like once we start installing the lights, say we get 50 done, then those 50 will be to go to back end billing, and that's when everything will convert.
So you'd batch bill, change the billing in batches?
Yes.
So I guess I wouldn't, back to option A, no, I wouldn't be up front for shelling out $250,000, but if it was take a bite of the apple and say we're going to do one street, right, and it was 100 lights or 50 lights, I don't, you know, I might be up for that. I like the option approach of keep looking at it, and if it's identify a street or a business district, and you know what, maybe you learn something along the way of one option over the other. So I like trying all the options.
But I think option C should be enabled tomorrow morning. I mean, and start the ball rolling, and then come back in, you know, 6 months when we're going to know what our finances are going to be like. And if we want to do Rockside Road or Pleasant Valley Road as a business district, we can look at option A or option B at that point. But I mean, we should move forward with option C tomorrow. I mean,
I think that's what we were suggesting for a councilperson to introduce. Yeah.
So is this a hybrid discussion? We're going to implement C immediately, but then Kevin, if I understand, we can opt to do different sequences and areas.
Yep.
That, and then put the money up, you take care of them, change the pricing, and we implement, yep, like constantly.
To me, it's a better way of doing it than wholesale. Wholesale, you have a lot of money up front and there's a lot of work on the back end and you don't realize those savings right up front. But if you enact option C now, Dave, what would you say you have on, Nina has on lights, maybe 30, 40, 60, you might get 60 done right away for free.
We probably have that many right now. That's why I kind of waited and I wanted to call this meeting the sooner the better.
So we could get those done. And then, as you said, if you look 6 months down the road, see where we're at, how many we converted, and you know what? The half of Brockside Road isn't done, and that's what you want to do. Well, you're only paying for, say, 50 lights or whatever it is up front, and that's going to be a quicker turnaround, and you'll realize those benefits and savings quicker than if you did a wholesale. And you can do it like that, so that way you're not putting up all the money up front. And we can do is you do it as many times as you want. If you want to go street by street and do it that way, we could do that.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to buy a bunch of kids' BB guns, Kevin.
I didn't hear anything.
Is that off the record?
It's off the record.
No, I do like that approach that you just laid out, Kevin. And would there be greater savings on some of the larger bulbs, like the bulbs on Rockside Road? Would we realize more of an electricity savings on those as compared to the smaller wattages in our residential districts?
Yeah, I mean, so like, I'm assuming you have mostly 250 watt bulbs out on Rockside Road, Dave, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're looking, 250 sodium vapor, high pressure sodium, right now, you will be charged with the high pressure sodium 105 kilowatt hours per month. And this is all dictated by the tariff. It's spelled out. There's no interpretation or anything like that. You, with the LED, it would go to 130 watt LED, and you would be charged 46 kilowatt hours was mentioned earlier, things are going up. Electricity is going to go up in the future, without a doubt. I don't foresee it coming down, unfortunately. And whatever you negotiate for your price, and you know, that you'll see greater savings as that price goes higher. You know, you have a pretty good rate. If you said it's 5 cents essentially, that's a pretty good rate right now. So yeah, you'll see.
It's still, Kevin, it's still 20% range of the total cost is the energy.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So, okay, we get 50% reduction on the 20%.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is all good information. So, if I'm hearing council, then we're going to go with, we immediately go with C, and then we'll be able to implement B as we navigate through this. Is that what I'm hearing, Mr. Chairman?
Mayor, I think that's exactly what you're hearing.
Or A, depending on the district.
Yeah, it could be a hybrid, like Councilman Geronimo. So we could do one of all three a little bit, if that's true, Kevin.
Yeah.
So I think let's find out if we legally, if we have to have legislation, is there an objection to putting it on tomorrow to get this ball for C? If we have to do that, if I can legally sign something, I can do it.
There's no cost.
Really? No cost associated with it.
Well, we've got a 24-hour window, and it's only 4 o'clock, and the council meeting doesn't start till 5:30. So I think if the law department's good, we could probably get that done.
Option C.
The fact that we had a committee hearing. Go ahead.
Option C. If there's no cost to the city to replace these, there, I don't see when legislation is needed. There's no financial component.
And then if that's true, then we could still we can implement C immediately, and then we can still figure out how we want to present legislation for A and B.
Does anyone have an objection to what we're discussing? I don't.
Question, if there's no cost component, could it be a resolution and then pass the other later on when it's involving the money?
Well, it's still legislation if you're going to opt to go that route.
Right.
Have municipalities that chose option C, have they passed legislation to enact it? Do you know?
No, typically they just signed and got it back to me. But I don't know what's required. So as long as I get a signed document, I'm good.
So I've got one, two, three, four, five council. If everyone, all five of you agree, then we'll sign this, and then we'll still prepare legislation for A and B.
Anyone have a problem with that?
That sounds good to me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
This committee member says yes.
Very good. Okay. Any other discussion on the LED lighting? Okay, are there other matters to come before council at this time?
I have a question. I don't know if it would be applicable to you, Kevin, but I've noticed at least two brand new poles in the city of Independence that are in excess of 100 feet with some sort of metal riser on the top with some sort of perhaps telecommunication.
So I could talk about that, absolutely. It's so part of what Ohio Edison, or CEI Ohio, is doing is it's called a grid modification. We're enacting smart grid across our system entirely. So basically what those are, and it's throughout the, you know, Toledo Edison, CEI, and Ohio Edison, it's an antenna that allows us to communicate with these, eventually when everything's enacted, communicate with these devices in the field. So typically if you had an outage, a tree fall on a primary line, and it took out 1,000 people, you know, it would be hours before, you know, you get out there, you get somebody in, you go out, you isolate, bring back people on that you can. What this will enable us to do is essentially detect the fault, isolate it, and bring like a majority, say, like out of 1,000 people, we'll bring 800 or 900 people back on within a matter of a minute. So they have strategically placed these poles and some of them are 70 to 110, I believe. And then you have an antenna on top of them. It's just like a mesh system at your house for your internet, and that it get broadcast so we can talk to all our devices that will eventually be out on the system.
Thank you. I saw them. Absolutely. Was very curious. There's one on Pleasant Valley, right in front of Road Dental. There's one on Chestnut and Ashwood, right along 77. I noticed another one on Broadview across from St. Colin Kill Church. So they're
you think you're ready to get started? You can go ahead. All right.
Sorry about that. I have another meeting. I have to join the board
meeting. Mayor,
thank you, everyone.
We know you're a busy man.
Yeah, perfect timing, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so much. Thank I appreciate you. It.
Anything else for the committee, or do I have a motion to adjourn?
Well, I'd just like to thank Kevin for working with Dave and I. You know, he's been working the last couple of weeks on this, and appreciate his support and getting online with us. And
I look forward to seeing these new LEDs.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you for everybody.
Yeah, get that to me. I'll turn it around that you have a fully executed copy, and we'll get it going.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So.
Member Tagliati, second.
Second.
By Laverca, the clerk may call the roll.
Sure. Trakis?
Aye.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Laverca?
The committee is adjourned at 4:02. Thank you very much for all your help and participation, and thank you to